Okay, I'll get this thing fixed in a minute. I've been trying to train these guys for 50 years. They still don't quite get it right. All joking aside, we're glad to see everyone today. And I did ask Brother Burt if we could make installments. I knew if he were going to charge us by the year, it was going to be hard to pay it all hard cash. Open your Bibles to the book of Revelation. We've been going through it chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and we're into chapter 18. We are excited about having the revival meeting start, the back-to-college revival meeting with Brother Ron Westmoreland. He's got a table back there with some books on it. I highly recommend. In fact, he's got one on the book of Revelation. I've been teaching this one now for a good long time, and some of you think that I'm delaying, hoping the Lord will come before I get through, and you're dead right. But he might get his book, and he'll get you more to the point quicker. He'll get where the tire meets the road quicker. Of all the times I've taught it, I've never seen the conditions in the world fulfill it any more than is happening right now. And we know that. I keep reviewing because I have to do that to kind of catch us up where we're at. We took chapter 1 and verse 19 as the main verse to divide the book correctly, where John was on the Isle of Patmos there, and the Lord gave him the vision of the book of Revelation, Revelation of Jesus. And he told him to write the things which are the vision he'd seen, and then write the things which are and the things that'll be hereafter. So we're studying that third part now, hereafter. And yet we're not in it yet. The rapture has not yet taken place, but it could take place any minute. And then from about chapter 4, verse 1 on, you got the tribulation. First half of it will be a little less severe than the last half. In fact, the Antichrist will come in kind of smooth and maybe even get elected in, but at the end of the 3.5 years, and he has the mark of the beast, and his kingdom is set up. From that point on, Jesus referred to it in Matthew 24 as the Great Tribulation. And then, as what we've been studying here in chapter 17 and 18, is God's wrath falling back on the kingdom of the Antichrist. So really what you have is you have the kingdom of the Lord Jesus fixing to come and be set up on earth. Christians have prayed this all through the years, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. Well, that's going to happen one day. Boy, the older I get, the more exciting that sounds. Amen. Because it sure is a mess right now, isn't it? Man, I don't know. It's so easy to get off on it. I'll try not to. But I said to you last week, what we're seeing is the globalistic plan of the Antichrist coming together. And what's even happening in Afghanistan now is showing us how this thing is coming together so fast. Sad for we folks that love America. Sad for people that are patriotic today. You know, patriotism today is just about a sin with the crowd in Washington. About what it amounts to. And we're pretty much the enemy if we don't go along with the agenda they're going along with. That's about what it amounts to. And, of course, we don't go along with it. You know, the Christian's not supposed to be walking in step with this world. He's supposed to be out of step with this world. I mean, this is not our home. We are passing through. And in the meantime, we are to occupy till he comes and do the best we can, stand for what's right, but don't deceive ourselves. It's not going to be heaven here. We're not going to get it all fixed. The Lord himself's going to have to come back to fix it. We understand that. But the events seem to be moving awful fast. I was talking with, I guess it was at bus breakfast. Some of us fellows were talking. We said, well, you know, it looks like we're seeing the fall of America. We've been seeing it for a long time. It's falling faster. And I guess that has to be before the Antichrist kingdom can fully take charge. Because America has been raised up of God, blessed of God, and used of God through all these years. And they were blessed and raised up because our foundation was in God. You know, the people from Europe came over, a lot of them came over looking for gold, but the pilgrims came over looking for a place to worship God. Big difference in that. And so our foundation was in the Lord. Yet the Bible says, "What can the right, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" And that's kind of the dilemma we're in right now. Don't you feel like you'd like to do something? I do. But I have to tell myself, I can only do so much. I can pray, I can witness, I hopefully win a soul here or there, but I can't fix this mess. And no human is going to fix it. Only God is going to be able to send his son back and fix it. These events we're seeing right now, we can't believe how stupid we have become. Who in the world pulls out the soldiers before they pull out the people and before they pull out their weapons? What was it, $81 billion they're saying that we left in weapons, Black Hawk helicopters and SUVs and all of that? We have left the terrorists so much better shape than when we found them. We've built them an army, armed them, and all kind of bad stuff is happening. And even some of the liberals are talking about getting rid of this president. We told you to start with you, he was the wrong one. Help yourself if you don't like that. That old door back there let you out just like it let you in. Amen. But in all reality, how dumb can we get on this thing? It is so terrible. Now we're asking the terrorists to have mercy on us and help us evacuate. Giving them a $100 billion embassy, several hundred million dollar airport. It's just unbelievable stuff. We think about old America, it's so different. It's just so amazing. And we're seeing, I believe, the fall of it. Now, a lot of preachers that believe the Bible, just make this little observation. We've studied prophecy for years. We knew the bad stuff was coming. We didn't want it to come. We wanted to stay better for our grandkids and all that. But it has to come sometime because the Bible said it would. And so it is coming. But there's a lot of preachers that's preached for years that, people ask, is America in prophecy? Well, yes, it is, because the Bible says the wicked should be cast into hell and all nations that forget God. Now, the word all means all, and that means America too. But with all that said, where's American prophecy? Well, some different ones think they found a little bit here and there, maybe Jeremiah 52 and a few other places, but not solid proof on that. But a number of preachers have said and predicted that before America fell, she would have a woman president. You ever read that? That various ones. Now, I know where they get that from, and I say, I think it's possible. I think it's more possible right now than I've ever seen it. Now, when Hillary was running, we said, uh-oh, that may be the one. Well, by the grace of God, she didn't make it. But now look where we're at. If Mr. Biden resigns, who steps in? She's about as qualified as I am to fly to the moon. I mean, just a mess. But where did they get that from? Well, we studied back over here when we were starting in chapter 17. I asked you to go back there just a minute. And we find that he's carried away and sees a woman, verse 3, set upon a scarlet colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Now, in this chapter of the Bible, we think about this is the angel came to John and said, I'll show you the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. So, as America was pretty much the leading nation in the sense of all nations wanting to follow America, and English pretty much becoming the set standard language. I was telling somebody this week, some of our missionaries going to China can't just go over there like they go somewhere else and start a church. But if you'll go over there and volunteer to teach English in one of their schools, they're very likely to let you have a little church, do a little gospel work. because they need that, because English is becoming the universal language of the world. Isn't it interesting that the English Bible, the King James Bible, has gone all over the world and is still the one all the rest of them are measured by? All the perversions, you know what they'll say on the front forward? They'll say, you know, they claim they're just changing the King James a little bit to modernize it. No, they're not. They're changing the whole thing and messing up the truth. But English pretty much come in the universal language. Now, what we basically have is America falling from a place of leadership. Now, we studied here in chapter 17. I'm reviewing a little bit. A woman riding on the scarlet colored beast. Now we've identified the city of Rome sitting on seven hills and the religious element of it. I come back and ask you to get this big picture. While a city is in chapter 17 and 18, and very likely it is the same city, they have several things in common, has the same colors, and the geographical location on the seven hills. And the other thing that is really, really common, look at the last verse of chapter 18. We'll go by verse here in a little while, but look at the last verse of chapter 18. It says, in this woman, was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and here's that big word all again, and of all that were slain upon the earth. Now, this is almost the exact repeat of chapter 17 and verse 6. So both these cities, and I think it's one and the same city, they are guilty of having the blood of the martyrs. And if you go back to chapter 17 and look at it in verse 6, and it's described, I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Not just martyrs, but martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. John was shocked. I think he was shocked because of the religious nature and even going in the name of Christ. Now, we're sitting at the place right now that we can see this stuff coming together. No government in the world rules without having some help from religion. For instance, Islam right now. Take it over, Kabul and all that we see. But do you understand the reason America made such a terrible mistake over there in the Middle East? They never got a hold of the philosophy of Islam. They never understood how bad it was. They want to separate ISIS and the Taliban. And I want to tell you something. They're one and the same. Because they're one and the same on religion. They're one and the same on Islam. And this is where we messed up at. We need to understand that philosophy over there that will chop your head off if you disagree with them. But they're all in agreement on their religion. Now, folks, if there is a uniting of the one world religion and bringing in the global kingdom, it will be the uniting of false Christianity and Islam under one head, very likely heading out of Rome. And you'll see this thing developing more and more. Right now, the ambition is to bring in a one world religion. And you see all the shakers, movers, and power in high places. This is the plan. And the plan will finally let the Antichrist head up his kingdom. And it'll have to have that religious element to it. By the way, he's going to be worshiped by the whole world. We already studied that. And he's going to have a mark that if you don't take it, you can get your head chopped off. In Revelation chapter 5, you see the souls under the altar crying out to God, how long? And he's going to say, until some more were killed just like you. And we find that method that we're killed by in chapter 20 when their heads are chopped off. I can kind of, you know, right now, there's a big, big fuss and fight over wearing masks, even though they've never proved that they were helpful at all. Amen. There's a doctor in the area. I don't think I can even remember his name, but he's in our county. Early on, he said wearing a mask is a joke. He said wearing a mask is like standing behind a chain link fence at night when the mosquitoes come out. and asking the mosquitoes to not come through the chain link fence and get you. That was a pretty good illustration. He said, that's about how much protection you got. Now, some of them, masks are different, you know. If you really put on one that would totally protect you, you'd die because you couldn't breathe. You got that? Can you make that connection? So if you can breathe through it, that virus can come through it. All right, I didn't want to get off on that again, but I just get so... The foolishness, the brainwashing that's going on today is unbelievable everywhere you look. And now people will get mad at you if you don't have one. Now the vaccination being mandatory. And our governor right now is in a lawsuit here in the state because he's taking a stand for common sense and saying the kids cannot be forced to be mandated to wear masks to school. And so now the school boards, unions, which are pretty much running the political scene in America, they're taking him to court to try to... All he said was, you can wear one if you want to, but let the parents make the choice. And I'm for the choice. I'm for freedom. Anyway, so pray about it. One liberal judge has already ruled against him, and now it's being appealed. So pray for the governor there. But what I'm getting to is, you see the fuss that's going on about forcing you to wear a mask or forcing you to be vaccinated. When the mark comes out, this is a forerunner of the pressure that will be put on people to take the mark. In the name of health, in the name of science, in the name of all that business. By the way, let me also say this. You know, after I retired, somebody said you didn't care what you said before you retired. Yeah, but I've even got worse. And in this sense, you know who is fighting being vaccinated by force now, mandatory, above? The black race of people are now resisting more than the white race or the brown race, so to speak. See, we're in a time now where charges of racism is all over the place over nothing, and teaching it to our kindergarten kids and all that. But with that said, why? Because if you'll go back in history, right here in America, North Florida, Georgia, some of our southern states, the government came in back in the 40s, and they mandated some treatments, and they tricked black race of people over the, and some of them now are gun shy. I say the truth, and I know, bless God, it's gone around to where it's awful now, but Ronald Reagan, one of our better presidents, said, the scariest words in America is, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. I agree with him 100%. No wonder we don't trust government anymore with all the false information and all the stuff that's coming out. And no wonder there's a resistance. When they start bullying you to do something, you get real suspicious about what's behind it. And that's what it amounts to. All these events are moving. Now, if the present president were to step down, we'd have a woman in charge for a while. I don't know how long. So... is that the woman riding the beast? Well, the beast, I think, is the system. But now I also taught, and I'm catching up kind of where I left off. I taught how that here in chapter 17, that this kingdom, this beast the harlot rides on, will rule with 10 kings, remember? You read that in chapter 17, pick it up in verse 12, we'll repeat it again. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet. And John's writing this, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. You have two time periods here mentioned concerning the kingdom of the beast. You have a period of 1 hour, you have a period of 1 day, this city being destroyed in 1 day, being destroyed in 1 hour. Now we live in an age and time when a city can be destroyed in 1 hour. And what it's really saying is it's really fast. And so if that be the case, these 10 kings that she rules with, it says that they turn on her and devour her. Now that's an interesting thing. Let's look at it, review it again. Look in verse 16 of chapter 17. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the head, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, Antichrist, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. There's only been one city famous in history for reigning over the kings of the earth. Reigned under pagan Rome, but more so under papal Rome, under the Vaticans. And if you want some interesting reading that is a blow your mind, study the history of the popes ruling over the kings of Europe. There was one case where one of the kings defied the Pope a little bit and then had to repent under the threat of excommunication. See, if you can get folks to believe that you got the power to send them to heaven or hell, they'll pretty well do whatever you want them to do. And the king believed if he was excommunicated, he was lost forever. So he decided he'd repent and come back and make up with the Pope. And so the Pope agreed he could come back, but he made him spend all night outside at the door with his shoes off in the ice and go. He was doing penance. Y'all know the difference in penance and repentance? You do, don't you? Well, Peter denied the Lord, and then he done what? He repented, right? Judas denied the Lord, and what did he do? He did penance. He went out and hanged himself. There's a big difference between the two, penance and repentance. Anyway, we find here in the tribulation period, in the kingdom of the Antichrist, this government, this system that is headed up by the woman called the harlot or the whore here, this one is going to be devoured or defeated by the king. So we'd say the secular government, whatever you want to call it, turns on her, and then the Antichrist kingdom is he and the false prophet that set up the kingdom. We find this revolt here of the 10 kings. Now, we started chapter 18 last week. After these things, I saw another angel. Now, remember, back in chapter 16, we found the seven angels coming before the Lord, having the vials of plagues, seven last plagues, God's wrath. And they're beginning to dump out that wrath now on the kingdom of the Antichrist. And so as we start off here, after these things, another angel comes and he cries out, Babylon the great is fallen, verse 2. Now we're still reviewing because all this has already happened. Babylon the system, the city has fallen. Babylon has had a system all the way back to the Tower of Babel, and the first leader was called Nimrod in the Bible. Mighty hunter before the Lord. And I've recommended, if you want to do some kind of hard reading but very historical facts, pick up a book called Two Babylons by Hyslop. It's an old book. And you'll read stuff in there, and you'll understand then the system, how it's come along all through the years. For instance, in the Babylonian system, as you read in the Bible, you read about the prophets of Baal. Anybody ever remember reading about them? Do you know what they look like? They had on black robes. Oh, yeah. Go back and study it out. Go in the book of Jeremiah, and I'm not going to shoot at the chapter. I may miss it. Probably chapter 50. But anyway, around that area, you will find that one of the sins of Israel was that the women started baking little cakes, little round wafers. You know any religion that uses little round wafers? All right. Help yourself. I didn't write it. It's there. Anyway, those women that Jeremiah was rebuking over those little cakes they were making, they were offering them to the Queen of Heaven. You read the Queen of Heaven in the book of Jeremiah. False religion, Queen of Heaven. And, well, I'm really meddling. I might as well go ahead. You head up Interstate 4 toward Orlando. Nowadays, you go real slow, so you can watch right or left. You're lucky if you're still moving. It's a parking lot. It's terrible. But on the way up to Orlando, if you look on your right, before you get to Disney World, there's a big church building. And it's called, the sign outside of it is the Queen of Heaven. You ever see that? On your next trip, while you're thinking about what you're going to do while you're waiting in the traffic, take a look over there. Queen of Heaven's in the Bible. False religion's in the Bible. And those women were making the little round cakes, offering them to the Queen of Heaven. Jeremiah the prophet was rebuking them over that. Remember? Did they obey Jeremiah? No. No, they said, while we was offering those little cakes to the Queen of Heaven, we were being blessed. And no wonder Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet, huh? His heart was broken. You see, Israel's trouble was Baal worship, idol worship, false worship. Even when they came out of Egypt and Moses was on top of the mount getting the Ten Commandments, they started dancing around the golden calf, remember? Idol worship. Do you understand that man has in his heart to worship something? Somebody, I don't believe in God. No, you believe in your own God. You're worshiping something. And the truth is, Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Islam's got a God. The Buddhists have got a God. All false religion has their own God, but it's a false God. And the Antichrist will be able to take advantage of that and put the one global system together. I've told you how that even the Pope has admitted, and the Vatican has a telescope out there in Arizona on a high mountain peak watching the skies, a big telescope. They say it's big and powerful almost as the Hubble telescope on the mountaintop out here in our state of Arizona. And so question was, why? What would the Vatican want with a telescope out there? And the Pope said, we're watching for E.T., extraterrestrials. And he went on to say even Jesus might be a star child. Now, he might have said that with a grin on his face, but it don't matter whether he did or not. Better watch out for the fakery and the deception that is coming real soon, folks, coming real soon. So in chapter 18, we find another aspect of the city. We might call it the commercial side. The religious side we studied more in chapter 17. And the announcement now is fallen. And in verse 3, all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Fornication is an illicit relationship. And of course, we normally think of the sexual thing, but also it can be this uniting, so to speak, of church and state. This thing here that we see in the kingdom of the Antichrist, fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich to the abundance of her delicacies. Think about it a minute. Money drives everything, don't it? That's what's happening in Washington, D.C. That's what's happening now as socialism is moving in on America. In fact, what we're doing right now is they're trying to buy their way out of Afghanistan. They're trying to buy the votes in America. Folks, it's got almost impossible to even state the figure of what the national debt would be in the high trillions. And right now, Congress is fighting and arguing whether they're going to bring in another $5 trillion on top of it. It is unbelievable stuff. Now we got signs everywhere. Hiring, but nobody wants a job because they're getting a free paycheck. But that check's not free. They're paying for it with their freedoms, giving up their freedom. If you want total security by the government, just go ahead and let them put you in prison. That's what it amounts to. You lose all your freedoms. But they'll feed you. And they'll somewhat protect you from some of the enemies, at least on the outside. It's a joke, but it's a sad joke. Socialism says it's two wolves and a lamb debating on what they're going to have for supper. Socialism is killing America, devouring us. It's so sad. And that's what we see. These nations are drunk with the wine of her fornication, the fornication, the financial thing. It says, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance. That's the stock market for you. That's Wall Street. Do you notice now how that the liberals in power in Washington is using corporations to do their work? Now they're telling corporations, you will have your employees vaccinated. You will do what we say. You will mandate this, that. Well, you see, here's what they think. They say, well, the government has to go by the Constitution. They don't, but they're supposed to. So if we can use these corporations, they're not bound by the Constitution. So they'll do the dirty work of the government, not hampered by the Constitution. You followed me on that? That's what's happening right now. That's right now. And total control is what it's coming to. So all this book of Revelation is being fulfilled so fast. Groundwork laid for the Antichrist kingdom. And here in chapter 18, 17 and 18, especially in 18, now God begins to let the vials that the angels have of his wrath dumped out on the kingdom of the Antichrist. Here's the good news. You don't have to be here for that. You'd be gone. You'd be saved. And when the trumpet sounds, you can go up. I believe I'll be watching this from God's viewpoint. I'll be coming back with him when he sets up his kingdom. Revelation 19, we'll get to it. And we'll come back. You know, when I was a kid, I thought I wanted a horse so bad. I wanted a white horse like I saw in the cowboys in the movies. Never got one. Truth is, I got one waiting on me. I mean, one like you can't imagine. Not an earthly horse, but one that I'm going to come back in the armies of heaven following my king on a white horse and coming back to help him rule and reign for 1,000 years. That's the promise of God. And we know how long it is, because chapter 20, we'll get to it in Revelation one day maybe. But in chapter 20, we find out the millennial reign is 1,000 years. Six times in the 20th chapter of Revelation, it tells you the millennial reign is 1,000 years. And it's amazing to me, there's folks that sing the doxology every week, and the doxology has got the truth in it, but they say the Lord's Prayer every week in a lot of big cathedral-type churches. They do that all the time, and they pray, thy kingdom come, may thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But do they believe it? Well, it is going to happen. Jesus is coming back to set up his kingdom. And you and I are promised to rule and reign with him as kings and priests for 1,000 years, Revelation chapter 20. And I look forward to that. I've joked around sometimes. I remember when we were having a struggle here in the early years of borrowing enough money to build the first auditorium here. And a banker had joined our church, good man, and loved the Lord, knew the Bible. And I joked with him, I said, if the bank don't loan us the money, when I come back in the millennial reign, I won't loan you a dime. And we joked about that, and he told his employees about that. And some of our folks, this has shocked you, but in the early years, now we don't owe a dime on a mortgage or anything. God paid it off by the grace of God. But there was a time here that we were struggling, really struggling. And we tried to raise a miracle offering. And we did. And it was a miracle, we raised it. But the whole city said we couldn't do it. But by the grace of God, we did. But some of our people, you won't believe this. Some of you tightwads especially won't believe this. Our people borrowed money to give it away. And the banker told his employees at the bank, he said, now members from Landmark come in and they apply for a loan. Check their credentials and their collateral and all that you do. Just like anybody else, except for one thing. When you ask them what they're going to do with it, you don't turn them down if they say they're going to give it away. And they kind of kidded at their boss and said, look, nobody borrows money to give it away. He said, I'm just telling you if they do. Well, we did. And we did that a lot. And by the grace of God, God used it and God blessed it. But I would joke, you know, when I come back in the millennial reign, I'll be your boss. You better loan me some now, so I'll take care of you then. Well, it wasn't quite that way, but it was fun to think about it. Amen. But anyway, he is coming back to set up his kingdom. Boy, what a time. Everything going wrong in the world now, everything will go right then. He'll even have it rain the right amount in certain places and all that. See, this world's under a curse now. You do know that, don't you? That's why you have to fight weeds in your lawn, in your garden. It's under a curse. When the curse is lifted, it won't be too hot. It won't be too cold. It'll be just right. I'm looking forward to that. It's too hot right now. No doubt about it. But with all that said, the Lord gives us a whole view, a whole picture. This is all coming. So if you're a little bit discouraged with things going wrong, just know the Lord. You're still on the winning side. Amen. All right, our time's up. We'll give you the report here, and we'll have about 7 or 8 minutes break, and then we'll get the preaching service started. All right, 7:59. That's pretty good. Still fighting the COVID thing.